Somehow you didn't think of it when you decided to become a parent. The inevitable, endless litany of television programming aimed towards tiny eyes, ears, and brains that would come to take over your everyday. Try as hard as you want to tune it out, but we're willing to bet you formed some opinions on these shows by now, most of which you probably can't share with your kids. Join us then for a cathartic rant on some of the most popular children's shows, from the absurd to the endearing to the truly horrifying. Welcome back to Tiny TV.
Tiny TV.
There you go. I like how you're doing that, by the way.
Just coming careening through your nice warm welcoming intro with something from the top rope.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
We are discussing today on episode 4, we are discussing Mickey Mouse Clubhouse because we can't leave out that big rodent idiot, can we, out of this lineup of shows. He had to
this
come up.
This friggin' guy, yeah.
Better get him out of the way sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with Mickey Mouse, he is a cartoon mouse, doesn't really look like a mouse, and he... is super annoying. But I mean, there's obviously like a very interesting history to Mickey and the start of Disney and everything like that,
yeah.
Which we won't get into here, but there are countless iterations of Mickey and his friends and everything, just so many children's programs throughout so many years. But today we're discussing specifically the Clubhouse because I feel like that is the most popular today among toddler age kids.
Yep.
Yeah. So like I said, it's not even the most recent, I don't think, show in this long history of like Mickey and Mickey adjacent programming that Disney has. What is the most, do you know what like is the current one?
Well, the ones that we, so in addition to Mickey's Clubhouse, we also fucks with Mixed Up Adventures and Funhouse and Roadster Racers, which I think all launched in 2019 with Disney Plus. They might also, I imagine they're also on Disney Junior, but I think that was part of the original content boom once they launched that. So
gotcha.
We cover the full
lovely
full thing in our house.
That's great. You get all the different factions.
Yep, there's even some shorts with Chip and Dale that that come out of it too. Yeah, so
those little bastards. We have not ventured away from it because my son is very particular, and once he finds something he likes, that's what he likes, and it's very hard to get him off of that thing.
Yeah.
So because I have tried like, oh, it's Mickey in a different form, and it's no.
Yeah.
So we've only done the Clubhouse, but maybe that's for the best. Maybe I don't want to see those other shows.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, but we are about to talk about how this show comes into our lives and does us the service of entertaining our children, even though it is horrible. It's not horrible.
It's no Cocomelon. Slowly insane. Yeah, I think it'll be a good activity for us to rank these at the end of this project. To just be like, we don't like this, but it's not of Satan. You know?
Yes, exactly. That is what I would say about Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Right.
So this show ran from 2006 to 2016. There's 126 lovely episodes you can partake in. It's interactive, which is always cool for a kid's show because I think it ups the chances of distracting your child and teaching them something, perhaps.
Yep.
And it is, I'm not versed in how to speak about like animation, but I know it's computer animated and I know it's like bare bones computer animation, I feel like.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad, especially those early seasons. It looks pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. And it's just, yes, it's super brightly colored and super just like something you would see, I don't know, if you're playing like a computer game.
They always have a problem with Mickey in 3D, you know, because it's like,
oh, his dumb ears.
His dumb ears. I mean, it's kind of a part of the original charm. I mean, this is a character that was drawn like the early dawn of animation in 1928. Right. So it's like they're sort of, this guy looks good like this, and then when he turns this way, his ears are just going to rotate. But it's just, you can really get hypnotized looking at those things when he like turns into 360, and you're like, how do you make some choices about the physics of this thing?
Well, I don't want to be in the room when that conversation is happening.
I don't want to be anywhere near it when they're talking about those friggin' ears. Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Count me out. So when did the show first come into your life, and how present is it in your life currently?
We found this one at 2 a.m. one fateful evening, visiting grandma, you know, sleeping in a strange place. He was just full refusal to sleep.
Was that East Coast?
Nope. This was I don't know if
the time change was also.
Nope. This was an hour south of our house. And I was like, I'm just going to get him out of here so that one person can sleep and we're just going to watch TV. He saw the menu of that different Roku menu or something, and Mickey was there, and he's like, let's do that one.
Yeah.
Whatever. And he just started laughing like a madman, like an absolute psychopath, because he was in that. So he woke up the entire house anyway. And we were both feed into Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. This one is not as present in our lives now, because as I say, he tends to like those spin-offs a little bit more, and we've gone through those many times as well. The downside of when you pivot to a new franchise, you know, the Chippendale ones, as he said, Chippendale ones, you can watch all of those in like 25 minutes. Roadster Racers, I think, is only like 10, 12 episodes, something like that. So you got to be careful.
How fast you're wandering through those.
Around. Yeah. Just wandering around through the gaping maw of streaming TV. But
yes.
What about you?
Well, first of all, I want to say, too, with all the, you know, horribleness and chaos that these shows bring, there really is no comparison for when your kid just like their little kid mind is like, this is comedy, this is hilarious.
Oh my God.
Like, what makes them, what about, you know, something like something touches their soul and is like, this is humor, I get this, and it is just delightful.
It's just
no
like
matter what it is,
him watching Goofy, you know, try to wrangle a runaway garden hose is just like, it is for him is the peak of comedy. Me, I'm borderline worried that he's like not breathing because he's laughing so maniacally, but it's a delight. That's a good secondhand delight.
Yeah, it really is. There's you can always get that secondhand delight, even if the show itself is an atrocity.
Yeah.
We had like a solid 6 month stretch, probably from like 18 months to 24 months, when we threw a second birthday party that was Oh Toodles. But two, as you know, as in the number two. Thankfully, it's nowhere to be seen these days, but I do live in fear, like when we're at the Netflix menu, that he will see it, or the Disney Plus menu, that he will see it and be like, oh, wait, oh my, I recognize that. And I'll have to be like, no, you don't.
Oh, no.
Don't go back to that. Because it is not something I want to revisit. But there were a solid 6 months, so it was just like all the time, just constant in our house.
I feel like you recited that like you had to revisit your old like prison journal. She's like, day 430. Ooh, the madness continues. You know,
don't let me go back. Don't make me go back there. What I think I was racking my brain to think what I do enjoy about this program, and I'm sure there's something, but I very overall I don't enjoy this program. So I'm curious to know what you, if there's anything that you can find enjoyable about this.
You know, one thing we've talked about is that it's nice that he's getting the full Mickey Disney introduction. I just feel like there's something comforting to me about that he like really knows who Donald Duck is, and Goofy, and you know, what Pete doing, all these guys. So you
Well,
know.
then, Greg, put on Steamboat Willie. There are other ways to do
Yeah.
this other than this mess.
Yeah. So I mean, one day we will like take out a second mortgage and go to Disneyland, and I just feel like when Goofy walks down the street to him, he's just gonna like his brain is gonna explode. So I like that.
I'm having like this like brain, like mind-blowing realization that that is why you go to Disney World. And I always obviously like you have to go to Disney World for kids if you can, you know, if you can swing that. But for some reason I wasn't thinking about it in that in those terms. Like this is something they've been watching literally since they were old enough to like process a show. And oh my God, going there and seeing that, I mean, my son will be terrified. I don't think he'll want to go anywhere near anything dressed up in costume, but that's great. That's what it is. That's nuts. Just walking around. That is Mickey, the Mickey. Wow.
Is there anything you enjoy about it?
Think so. I really don't. I don't. And that brings us into like our next question is what is the most annoying slash scary slash bizarre part of the show? And for me, it's just like this is a chaotic show. Not only is it not like attractive looking at all, it's just like this like bright, chaotic animation, but like there's no rhyme or reason to the show. There are a couple songs that they sing every episode, and like every episode, you know, begins with them like getting the picking the Mouseketools or whatever, talking to Toodles. But like the plots are so weird. Like I don't know what this universe is that they live in. Like some of the music is just like so, it doesn't like follow a pat. It's just like it's so chaotic, the show, and it just like really bothers me. Like plots, songs, activities, there's like zero theme from episode to episode, other than that they're, you know, going on a mission. Like on one thing they're like it's like a medieval theme. I think that that like pops up a lot. Like they're like princesses and print, like then there's castles and dragons, and then like but they're also like there's like a, maybe it is just all like fan like a storybook kind of world, because there's also like a beanstalk. I don't know. I just it I don't
I
know.
feel like
I find it hard to wrap my head around.
if this one stresses you out, you definitely got to stay away from Mickey Mouse Funhouse. That one will
Oh
really,
God.
that one cranks it up to a couple different decibels. So
Oh dear. It gets worse. Like, no, thank you.
we've come to enjoy the thrill in our house, but it took a little getting used to. So
Yeah. Okay.
I would trigger warning for you on that one.
Thank you. Thanks very much. That sounds like did you see like the new like Winnie the Pooh horror movie
No.
that's coming out? It's horrifying. Like it is horrifying. Don't look at it if you want to sleep tonight. But that kind of reminds me like if they did like a horror version of Mickey Mouse, like the Funhouse version would be like the distorted, creepy, like scary show. So I'm definitely not watching that.
Yeah, I'm fascinated.
No. What for you is like a big thumbs down?
There's a couple of sort of elements of this that are just unsettling. I don't care for Toodles. I'm not sure what you call it. It seems like sort of a half-baked character idea where these ears just pop out of nowhere.
And then halfway through the like the series, Toodles gets a face.
Yeah.
It's
And
very
its own
strange.
storyline, the Toodles, you know, is like lonely. I'm just like, man, this is
Ugh.
I don't, this whole thing is unsettling to me. I feel the
Save it
same way
for.
about all these hands that pop out of nowhere that open the door, and there's a couple little things here that feel closer to a horror movie than a kid show.
Yes, like there's like hidden, like rotating like walls.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Don't care for that.
Don't care for that. Don't care for that at all. Yeah, Toodles, I mean, save that for some kind of weird AI
Yeah.
movie. My God, doesn't
Yeah,
have place in a
Toodles
kid's
is
show.
definitely in the metaverse. There's no doubt about it.
Just like what is it? Why does it have a face all of a sudden? Like one episode, it just is like its own person. Yeah, with like an agenda. Ooh,
Yeah. Did
I
you
like it.
see that on the VMAs the other day, speaking of the metaverse, that there was an award for best metaverse live performance given out at the VMAs? It's
No,
like,
what does that even mean?
I think that we as a society might just be eating ourselves at this point. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Dude, wow. I didn't watch the VMAs. That would have freaked me out. It does freak me out.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Neither one of us are going to sleep tonight. I'm going to be thinking about the Winnie the Pooh horror movie, and you're going to be wondering about what's going on in the metaverse. So
it's called Blood and Honey, Greg. It's terrifying. It's horrible because they're wearing masks of the characters. No thanks. What could be more terrifying than a misshapen pig that doesn't look a thing like a pig? Put a silicone mask of that on a human and have them kill people.
Yeah.
No thanks. No thanks. Which brings us to our After Dark segment of this podcast that might offend some people. It is F, Marry, Kill with three characters from a children's television program.
That's right.
Yep. Greg, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Why don't you go first this week?
I'll go first. So this was a hard one. You know, I'm no fan of these people, but I'm going to F Daisy because she's clearly the hottest one on the show. I mean, she's got some heels. They're very big because of her very big feet. That's not her problem. I'm not foot shaming her. She's like
the fun friend too. You know, it's like Daisy's Minnie's a little sort of, you know, a little buttoned up a little bit.
Yes, kind of, exactly.
You know, all that. But it seems like Daisy, you know, she goes out every night, you know?
Yeah. And she has her like big dumb husband, like Donald, who's like, can hardly function. But she's like, you know, she's in it to win it. And I think she'd be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said I would marry Toodles.
Wow.
Just, I guess because if you, I mean, you're thinking purely like practical, he could get you any of the tools that you needed for any job. And hopefully, maybe if you entered into a marriage with him, like you would never have to pay like a repairman because he could always just do everything for you. Because this creepy hand.
Toodles has the tools, the Mousket tools. And if you need them, Toodles can bring them. So,
yes.
That all checks out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Toodles. It's time to get to it.
Yeah. You're not going to be dropping $1,500 every time there's an issue with, you know,
no,
with the, you know, the idea machine or whatever, you know?
Exactly. This is the floating, faceless slash sometimes with a face man I married and I'm okay with it.
Love that.
And I think obvious that I would kill Pete because
definitely
I don't know what or is he a dog like Goofy supposed to be a dog.
I think they're a similar species. They're at least in the same phylum.
I mean this idiot's mean and then at the end of every episode he apologizes and is like, hey, I know I was being a dick to you guys. And they're like, it's okay, we still accept you. And then the next episode he's a total dick again. I don't believe it. Because he's just nasty.
Yeah. You know, I was also
like
gonna,
cries about it.
I think that is, what's kind of interesting is I was also going to kill Pete, but I'm kind of thinking I'm going to kill Mickey because Mickey is the enabler of all this Pete bullshit because he lets him off the hook at the end of every episode. You know,
that's
forgives him.
Excellent point.
And it's like, this guy is not learning. You've got to, you're the leader of this gang. Like, why don't you draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? We don't feel safe around you. You know, you're always lurking in the bushes. You're always trying to trick us. You're trying to, you know, undermine us at every turn. And how many chances are we going to give you before we say, you know what? I'm going to advocate for myself.
You know what? That is an excellent point. At a certain point, Mickey's the enabler. He's not helping Pete learn any lessons. So that's a good, I mean, I would kill Mickey. Because then maybe all this would go away. But but that's a good pick. What are your other picks?
Well, I mean, if Mickey's out of the picture, I'm thinking I'm going to marry Minnie. Just move right in. Sure. Just go for the full, you know, Hamlet move there. So, but, I mean, that's just logical. If you're going to kill Mickey, you might as well marry Minnie. And then I'm going to F Donald. Guy just seems like he could really freak, you know?
You know what? You're right. He kind of seems like, you know, he's not very intelligent. He's like a little bit, a little selfish.
Yeah.
Kind of seems like sort of a frat boy, fuck boy type vibe, but that's not to say he couldn't like really like get the job done. So
really bring the heat if that's what you need. I mean, you got to watch out for the beak, certainly.
You do.
But also maybe, you know, see, you know, you never know. Don't knock it till you try it.
Exactly. No. I mean, yeah, I said I would F Daisy, his female counterpart. Yeah. So
we're on the same wavelength.
Same duck wagon. Yeah. sorry, I said that. I don't know what that. Ooh. Let's talk about music. So in this show, scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the music? 1 is I'm sure they played this in hell, and 10 is these are low key bops.
This one's a 2 for me, but I will say that Mixed Up Adventures and Roads to Racers and Funhouse are more like 7 or 8. Beastie Boys do the hot dog song and Mix Up Adventures.
It's dance break time at Hot Dog Hill. Let's go, get up and reach for the sky. Jump up, jump up, jump up on the couch. Who's up? Get in the funny bus. Get in the funny bus. Right now.
Okay.
So, you know, that has a little bit more heat to it. Just better production value. We're getting 2019, you know, Disney having acquired Pixar, and hopefully some of the lessons learned from that well-run operation. So the animation's way better. The whole production is way better. So, but Mickey Mouse Funhouse is weak. That's a 2.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Yes, not Funhouse. I said 3, but I feel like that might be even a little too generous. I didn't realize that They Might Be Giants does the theme song and then the hot dog song at the end.
Yep.
Didn't realize that, and I kind of feel like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you be involved with this? It's just, this is, I feel like, one of the most earworm theme songs that there is in a kid's show. I don't know, maybe just for me, it's just that once that gets in your head, it's not coming out.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's no good, but I'm glad to hear that the spinoff shows are definitely elevated a little bit when it comes to music.
Yep, I would recommend those.
Should we do the final Let's Ask a Kid?
Yes.
Okay.
see what Cal says here.
Okay.
It's Goofy's Robot.
Goofy's Robot?
Yeah.
You like this one?
Yeah.
So he likes Goofy's Robot.
Okay.
That one was good. Yeah, so as you can hear, it just sort of sometimes it just comes bubbling out of him while he's always watching these. He just he gets engaged. He'll like freestyle his own songs as it's as they're cooking it up.
I love
that. Yeah,
love that. I did get a little bit of like PTSD hearing that, like that. I'm like, woo.
Yeah.
Yes, but I mean, yeah, and that's another thing, like. In addition to like the laughter that it brings, like if you can see it, like hearing them talk about it later is like also very heartwarming, because you're like, you are like have a time, you have this brain and you take things in and you really enjoy that. And now you're like telling me about it later. That's very, very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that.
That was our segment, Fine, Let's Ask a Kid, where we decide to stop bashing a children's show as 2 adults and ask an actual child what they think. And so thank you very much to Greg's son for providing some color commentary.
Yep.
Yes.
He's welcome.
Amazing. And then I think, you know, that brings us to, in summation, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Would you recommend it to a parent?
I'm saying yes, just on it does bring my child joy. It is not simply eye candy. I feel like he's learning a little bit from it. And 126 episodes. So that to me is good. So it takes a while to cook through all those. I mean, still probably will. But I think that's sort of what tips it over the edge for me. What about you?
That's a good point with the number of episodes too, because like then not only will they not be bored with it, but then like you won't have to listen to the same episode over and over and over, because it'll take you some time to get through those.
Yeah.
I would recommend it because, like I said earlier, it is like interactive, and you know, like Mickey will like pause and ask questions, and your kid might answer it, and like you have to pick different things. So there's potential for this to be like more engrossing than the typical show for your kid if your kid will interact with it.
Yeah.
But mine does not. I mean, he like processes it, but he doesn't like interact with it. And so I just like, it's like any other show, just listening to that horrible music and hearing these idiots kind of go about their dumb adventures. So I would recommend it for the possibility that yes, maybe it could distract a kid more than the average show.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. There you have it. Our thoughts on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse via Tiny TV. And I thought you were going to do the thing.
Oh, yeah.
No, the tiny. I thought you were going to.
Tiny TV.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Well, you're doing a great job out there, friends.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. We'll throw it on the pile and see what sticks.